The following is from Ghost Coast Studios, the world's first and only podcast network.
Now wait a minute.
Today we're diving into the bizarro world of wrestlers turned politicians, a rogue gallery of extreme views, lockstep loyalty to a megalomaniacal boss, and policy positions that sound like they were written with a steel chair to the head. From Kane, the fire-breathing bigot in a mayor's seat, to Jesse Ventura rewriting the script on governance, these characters took their backstage drama straight into the real world. But there's a twist. There's another group that's just like them, equally extreme, equally loyal, and maybe even more unhinged. Who are they? Stick around and find out. This is the most important election of our lifetime.
This election, which will be, I do truly believe, the most important election of our lifetime.
This is the most important election of our lifetime.
This is the most important election, don't you? You hear that?
This is the most important election in our lifetime.
I certainly think it's the most important election of my lifetime.
This is the most important election of our times.
Politicians say every time, oh, this is the most important election. This one's really that important.
It's important every day to take a moment to consider our civic responsibility within a democratic society.
What are you talking
about?
How
does a democracy function? How do we keep a democracy alive? It's through active, rigorous, nonstop, constant, unending participation in the system. I am, of course, referring to the need for you to vote today.
Oh, God.
Right,
I got
now,
my ballot. You see this ballot? I got another ballot.
There are American made.
I got ballots. Got to vote. You in the audience right now. Vote.
Never not voting.
You see, I was under the impression that really our civic responsibility was an endless performance. where we simply find a crowd of people, we yell contradictory slogans, we change our perspectives once every 3 to 6 months, we rile up the ignorant to sell them really cheap products like Stack or Two, and whoever sells the most cheap bullshit like t-shirts and merch wins. And even though their victories aren't really real, they're hollow victories staged in order to keep the circus running. Is that not what we're doing here?
No, that's professional wrestling.
Oh, okay.
As a statistician, I have a chart for this situation. When you vote, line goes up.
Stonks.
Big
stonks.
Line goes up. Stonks goes up when you vote.
That checks out, actually. It is once again the most important election of our lives. We have a nice cozy episode tonight. I'm Kennedy Cooper. I'm here as always. We've got Brandon Buchanan.
Hi.
We've got our in-house statistician, Andrew Fields.
Andrew, you've played with that kazoo more than you've brought up any stats so far.
Listen. Let me show you the chart.
That's true.
Every single time I have to ask myself, do I add the noise in to vindicate it, or is that giving or is that giving Andrew? Am I feeding the problem? If I do,
I just like that we have a real, trained, employed in a serious job statistician,
yes, right,
who holds up a chart that just has a line going up on it.
It helps
on this show on a regular basis. I think that's really important.
No.
And of course,
if you really think about it, this is more of an investment into journalism than most journalistic entities in America right now.
As someone who speaks to a lot of journalists, yes, that they would attest to that as well.
We have a stats guy look at our notes before we bring the show live. I mean, like, we joke about, you know, oh, he's just here to hold the pom-poms. But, like, we do have a stats guy
help us
with our research and look at our notes.
Numbers.
That is literally more journalistic integrity than just an incredible number of legitimate journalism outfit.
Part of the problem is, like, you actually listen to me. Some of the frustration on the research side is we say our stuff and journalists like to slim through it and abbreviate things. You actually all listen to me.
Sure.
Brandon and I love to learn shit. If you come in and you tell us something we don't know, we just go, oh, cool.
Hey, Kennedy, let me teach you Bayesian statistics right now.
Okay, cool.
It helps that we don't have a financial incentive to not be interested in numbers.
Let me give you a number. Right. 23. Bam. There you go.
Wow. Right. See, this is what we pay this guy for. All right. And finally, you've already heard this lovely voice. What? In fact, you may have heard this lovely voice before on Monday Night Fake Fights, a wonderful podcast about wrestling from a queer outsider goofball lens. We got Garrick here from Monday Night Fake Fights, our wonderful friend, one of our best friends. Also, I think I have to disclose this for anti-nepotism laws or whatever. The editor of this show.
Yes.
Yes, that's how nepotism works.
However many episodes in, I was like, you know what? I have notes. I got things I'm going to have to say. So you might as well just have me on. But yes, thank you very much.
That's how nepotism works. More jobs and less money. That is the dictionary definition.
I spend at least once a week talking about wrestling and professional wrestling. So I am no stranger to nepotism. The whole thing runs on it. Also, Andrew, you gave me a random number, 23. First thing my brain said, well, shit, WrestleMania 23. I'm pretty sure that's the one with Donald Trump versus Vince McMahon, hair versus hair match.
See, that's the power of being a statistician, you know.
And you and wrestling, much like politics, like you can't step into one without stepping in the other. If you know what I mean. So true. Yeah, it makes sense. And also I like to kind of say to what Brandon said earlier, politics is like wrestling in that two teams are pretending to fight each other, and at the end of it somehow Vince McMahon makes money. And that's all you really have to know.
And that's just incredibly literal in our current era. For all of us. Today we're talking about wrestlers in politics is one of our topics. And you might be wondering, you have a second topic. You've already covered real life and fiction in one topic. but we do have a second topic today, and we'll get there. In the meantime... It's interesting how many wrestlers have forayed into politics in some fashion. I think the one that it comes to everyone's mind right away is, of course, Jesse Ventura.
The Body.
But
yeah,
The Body. He's not our only guy by a long shot. In fact, I wrote down a few names, but. Garrick, I feel like if I just let you rattle off a list of wrestlers in politics, it's going to be much more complete than my list. I'm going to let you take the floor for a second.
All right. I'm not even going to give you a full list because I, A, don't know them, and B, it would be too long. Let's go categories, shall we, kids? Currently serving in office. You got two just in Japan. Hiroshi Hase is a governor in the Ishikawa prefecture. And Hiroko Suzuki is on the Funabashi City Council. So that's just in Japan.
Do we know Hiroko Suzuki? What's his, is this?
Her.
Is he related to, are they related to Kenzo Suzuki and that whole 2004 SmackDown? Who is this guy? Who is this woman?
The Geisha Valet translator for real life husband Kenzo Suzuki on WWE SmackDown brand.
You're not the only one with a deep and inside. Yes, that's a deep cut.
That's a deep cut, Brandon. I am in fact impressed.
she feuded with Tori Wilson when she was enslaved by this guy, or vice versa. Or
It was that's outside of the remit of our show. Believe it or not, we're just covering the Monday Night Wars at Monday Night Fake Fights, and it gets worse. That's why I stopped watching. Yeah. Other famous people who are currently in office that everyone thinks of, Kane, Glenn Jacobs, Mayor Kane, as we like to call him, is the mayor of Knox County, Tennessee, and a mega transphobe bigot piece of shit. So, yeah.
I hate him.
Yeah, he was one of my favorites as a kid. So that was a real.
Oh, no.
That was a real rolling to the balls, you know? it's wonderful. One that did surprise me, current commentator on Ring of Honor and sometimes AEW, and one of my favorites to do it, Ian Riccaboni, I guess, is on the school board of Salisbury Township School District, and that warms my heart. But more importantly, famous ones in history, besides local legend Jesse Ventura, governor of Minnesota, but first mayor of Brooklyn Park. Oh, God. You got Abraham Lincoln. Probably the highest office held in America.
You know what? That's such a good take. People forget that Abraham Lincoln was a fucking... He was a guy who could throw down and put you in the mud.
He worked what was
called... He was known for it.
Yeah, he worked what was called catch-as-catch-can wrestling, which is the big precursor of what is... modern pro wrestling American styles style. So I can't speak to, I mean, he was, did it.
He laid a smackdown on slavery.
We know he was enough of a pro wrestler that he did promos and worked crowds.
Yep.
That makes you a real wrestler.
So,
in my opinion.
Yeah. So like, I don't know if his matches were worked or shoots where they were actually fighting or they were predetermined. But he was absolutely working crowds and cutting promos, which back in the day was part of it, whether you're a worker. Look at UFC. They get out there and cut promos and drop slurs and do shit. Yeah. And like, that's what they do. So like, he absolutely counts. but then, you know, Antonio Inoki is one of the more famous ones. He was on Japanese House of Counselors and is like the biggest name in Japan. Jim Barnett, who started the NWA, was on the National Council of Arts, which is ridiculous. The one that surprised me, B. Brian Blair. Not a lot, but that's a deep cut as far as a wrestler, too. That's weird. But then my favorite is the people who ran unsuccessfully.
Okay. That sounds more interesting, actually.
Bob Backlund actually ran in 2000 for the United States House of Representatives after doing it as a bit for like 6 years.
Backlund just a sacrificial lamb? Was he competitive? Or I mean, he must have been over the hill by the time for an office.
I don't think he garnered much, and I think I don't think Vince wanted him to do it. I think Bob Backlund is just actually kind of like that, and we all like somewhere he lives somewhere in I think like New Hampshire or Vermont or something like that, and he someone has to go to the grocery store and see that guy, and that's terrifying.
And for the purposes of anybody listening to this, you know, all pro wrestlers are MAGA shitheads unless specifically stated as otherwise.
Yeah, we have a...
And not just Republican, not just like Marco Rubio, not whoever you're, John Kasich. Like, boy, they're
John Cena got Facebook walls. Is John Cena good?
John Cena
is a special case.
John Cena is a Stepford wife. Is what I have to say. John Cena is a sleeper agent for whoever says his activation word first. And that's terrifying because the person who put the most work into it is Vince McMahon. So we'll see. But to round it out, various we'll other people. Yeah. Jerry Lawler ran for mayor of Memphis twice. That was never going to go good for legal reasons. Rhino, which kind of freaks me out, ran for the Michigan House of Representatives. That's a terrifying thought.
Wait, isn't they literally Rhino?
No, I forget his actual name.
I'm just thinking the acronym Republican in name of Rhino.
Oh, that's fucking amazing. Holy shit.
Fucking amazing.
No wonder he lost.
Rhino was definitely not a Rhino.
Yeah, no, he looks more like a Duck Dynasty guy. But yeah, sure enough, it's always involved. Plus, you have the people who just say they did. And the fact that kayfabe is basically how politics it just works now. So it's all enmeshed. Everyone should check out Josie Reisman's book, ringmaster, kind of lays it all out, and it's terrifying. But yeah, needless to say, there's a lot of overlap here, Kennedy, to pull from.
Garrick, are there, and this may be a weird sidebar, but it may be funny, are there characters who have pretended to be politicians as a gimmick?
Oh God,
that we haven't thought of.
I mean, probably
Mustafa Ali did it.
Probably more than I can even think of. I mean, the obvious is Backlund. Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan went into business for himself on a talk show once or twice and floated that he was going to run for president because he was pissed that Jesse Ventura won his governorship. It was like, no, you can't do that. But it was such bullshit that it doesn't even show up in any of the Wikipedia articles. Because, like, it was just, he just said it like twice and nothing was ever filed. Sometimes Terry just says shit. But no, I mean, there's been several that, I mean, JBL in his later years was kind of a Fox News oil baron politician guy. Like, it's always been one that they can go to for a cheap get, you know, like it's cheap heat when it comes down to it.
Yeah. Well, you know, wrestling in some ways, it's kind of like a family.
Oh, very.
It's a family full of weird, kooky characters. Sometimes it's kind of a toxic family, kind of a problem family. But at the end of the day, they stick together. They look out for each other, and they always have each other's backs. You know who else is a family that's a lot like that? The Addams Family. Our second topic today is the Addams Family.
I'm into it.
Garrick, what's your relationship to the Addams Family?
I'm for them. I fucking love the Addams Family. I've always loved the Addams Family. Holy shit, I am so fucking there. Addams Family, the films, and Addams Family Values, all those was some of my earliest understandings of camp, which really, that and the occasional John Waters on Comedy Central that I would catch really warped my fragile little mind. So, yeah, absolutely. Oh, let's go.
Yeah, something I grew up with as well. What about the rest of our panel here? Andrew, Brandon, any Addams family?
I'm the stats guy, so of course I know how to add him. Yeah,
Garrick, you've got full liberty to put any sound effects
in. Oh, God.
Any sound effects. I deserve it. Like, I want to make it clear. I just
maybe a car crash sound. I was thinking, like, you know, screeching tires, slam of metal.
I have several things that might work.
Or what about that sound when people leave a Discord call?
We're losing people.
Anyways.
Brandon, do you have any emotional...
No, so let's see. I definitely saw the movie. I definitely remember the song. I definitely watched enough of it to know all of the members of the Addams Family. It wasn't my number one fandom growing up, but like, yeah, I think everybody, that movie was a huge fucking hit when I was a kid.
I think it's very depressing knowing that the Addams Family was the opposite, like, of most shows at the time, and the two parents are deeply in love with each other. That's a little depressing. Like, that was a subversion of expectations, the fact that the two are so deeply in love.
They're the final, like, are they okay hetero couple. Like, they're the only hetero couple that has ever been okay.
Yes. That's kind of depressing.
I mean, arguably, they're two bisexuals in a straight passing relationship, which, let's not get into that.
Yes, okay. No, you are. They are correct. They are right to say it. Yes.
You know, when we were thinking about who do we turn to if we're gonna match up these real world wrestlers, these larger than life characters, these ride or die motherfuckers who will just you know, bury the bodies with each other, who can we compare them to in the world of fiction? And the answer we came to was naturally the Addams Family, a family that also very literally buries the bodies together in some of the episodes and movies.
both full of people who have done alleged crimes. Yes.
So we're going to do a couple of political scenarios, matching up some members of the Addams Family with some of these wrestlers that we've mentioned.
Oh, there's plenty.
Starting with, now, John Cena, technically, I don't think he has run for office, but I wanted to include him anyway. I wanted to start with a hot pick. Gomez Addams versus John Cena for the governor of Florida. Let's say in 2004.
Ooh.
What do you think?
I mean, obviously John Cena would lose because you can't see him on the ballot.
Yeah. Oh God, I really hate to fucking give you that one, Andrew. But I'm gonna.
No, you can't see him, but you can definitely see his name written down.
Gotcha, on gotcha.
Or else, how else would you buy merchandise? Can definitely see a t-shirt of John Cena.
And look, some people might love that in a politician. What's better in a politician that gets stuff done and you never have to see him? They're just working. They're not out doing their shit. So, yeah, no, that works for him. But however, Gomez Addams circa 2004 in Florida.
This was,
that might be.
Yeah, this wasn't a good time for.
I don't know, because like all right, look, Gomez and Morticia are very clearly involved in, let's say, the lifestyle. You know who else is? A lot of weird old people who visit Florida. So like he might pull in some votes from
So you think it's gonna be kind of like a Lauren Boebert situation?
I think he's gonna pull in some of the freaky sex vote. Yeah, like him and Morticia would definitely throw down at the Beetlejuice musical. Come on. I think
Gomez and Morticia Addams are just banned from darkened rooms.
Yeah.
Darkened public rooms on principle.
Oddly enough, they can't go to wrestling shows either. It's really, it works for Cena's advantage there. I don't know. I could say a lot about John Cena.
I mean, so we are talking about, I just feel like John Cena, we're talking about the Marine.
That's the thing.
During that time period.
That's the thing, is we're talking 2004 John Cena, correct? Are we talking modern John Cena or 2004?
Yeah, no. 2004
is
John Cena.
Gomez is done. Peak John Cena.
Gomez gets 10% of the vote.
Yeah, the Marine is going to win a walk.
No. John Cena is the Marine at this point. Like, it's after... Because he started out as, like, white dude rapper. Well, he started out as the prototype and he was just going to be like this wrestler guy, but they found out he could like halfway rap. So they're like, all right, we're doing this. And that worked for a while.
Stephanie McMahon had actually never heard rap before.
Yeah. In her entire life.
She thought this guy had invented a new genre of music on the spot. Have y'all seen Back to the Future? Y'all, Dad, you've got to hear this.
And he walks in the do-rag, like, oh, God, Vince. There were signs. But, yeah, like, she absolutely never heard rap before. And she's like, oh, my God, this is amazing. According to that's the official lore. Because that's the thing. I said before, John Cena is a Manchurian thing. That just whoever says his word is going to activate him. He played one of those in an independent film where he played a Manchurian centrist. I wish I was making this up.
And he, not only did he play that, he was like a producer. He was part of he got like story credit for it.
That was like a role
that he picked and wanted.
Him and The Rock are like, we could be president as centrists who are really just Republicans. Which, let's face it, that's a centrist. So, like, yeah, like, they are the, if Will Stansel, like, had gains, you know, like that would be the rock, like the Rock and John Cena, basically.
I'm canceling you for making me think about a stack.
Get in line, Andrew. Get in line.
Stupid sexy stencil.
Cancel. I'm so
Do you think that there is an election, a place and time where Gomez Adams could beat John Cena?
No, we've got to look for a way for John Cena to lose.
I guess John
Cena had a little controversy in 2021 when it seemed like he acknowledged Taiwan as a country. I don't know if that's anything.
You know, he had a little bit of that. Also, he will never distance himself from Vince McMahon, who is the greatest monster in history. Basically, he is unable to distance himself from that man. It's in his programming.
Yeah.
So, like, that is that's what I'm saying is you have to pick the right time. And I think it was maybe 3 years ago, right around... Like right before the Vince shit hit real hard again, and we all kind of just knew it. It was Biden's America. It was going to be Harris's America. Everyone was going to continue to be allowed to be just trans enough. And like, it was going to be fantastic. And he could have taken Cena with the Vince baggage and Gomez being a weird little sex freak. And everyone having this resurgence of being allowed to like actually explore sexuality for the first time, he would get a lot of Gen Z, I think. Also, goth. Also, the Wednesday movie came out. So, like, he has a famous daughter who has a working relationship with Tim Burton. Like, maybe
and he's also funded by Tony Khan.
Yeah, exactly.
Who donates all kinds of money to this guy.
Tony Khan's father donates his mustache to him for every performance. So, like, yeah, it really works out.
Where is this? But I don't know if Florida's anywhere. There must be somewhere in America where Gomez would have a shot in 2020.
Not Florida. Not Florida ever.
Yeah, we've got a win where Gomez could maybe win. What about a where?
Oh,
is there a California state house race? Is there a Vermont?
You know what?
Is there a?
I'm gonna pull the local angle here. I bet you that I personally could get Gomez Adams elected mayor of Minneapolis. I would love to do that. 3 years ago, please. I could take him out. He could take out Jacob Fry. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think John Cena could blow that race.
Yeah, he could blow that race easily. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, John Cena is just Jacob Fry again with gains. So, like,
Jacob Fry with Gaines
is a formidable opponent.
Yeah,
yeah.
No,
Jacob Fry with Gaines is not a sleep on. You know,
as far as all the things that came out of the petri dish, the Jacob Fries, and the various other guys that just are him, your Buttigieg's, your Beto's. Like he with Gaines is the scariest because I've seen the fact that man has no soul. So that is terrifying. So yes, maybe, but I think Gomez could eke it out here. I really do.
Now let's go in the opposite direction. Rhino, not a guy that's universally beloved like John Cena, not a successful politician. Could he be
not that successful as a wrestler?
No, yeah. No. He did two or three things real well.
Rhino,
could
Peter
he
Rhino.
Be a cousin it in a state house race? This is the mop of hair sure. with a hat.
The Adams family will be really pushing cousin it. They're all going to be working overtime to get cousin it in there.
And but is he like the weird cousin of the Kennedy family where it's like we got to give him one too? Like,
RFK is in the cabinet. Oh, it's God. Just everyone's this is the year of the weird cousin. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
If RFK can be the director of health and human services, surely cousin it can be a state house rep.
Oh, all right. Okay, but which state is my next question?
Any almost any Democratic state would pick Cousin It over Rhino.
I was going to say, because Rhino...
Virginia.
Oh,
Illinois.
Where would the election come down the closest?
Probably Virginia.
I'm picking the hardest one, I think.
Yeah.
That would be, I believe, Virginia. Virginia.
I think Virginia. I think one. Virginia would be a squeaker because he has the family behind him and like that. I feel like that would really go for it. But also, I can't stress enough, Rhino looks like a Duck Dynasty guy.
I think Arizona would be a coin toss for this election.
Yeah. Oh God, but
Arizona's a coin toss for anything or anyone.
All right, but can you imagine how sweaty Cousin It would get? Like, that's not okay. Like, that he would be leaking like Giuliani.
Yeah, that Cousin It in that heat. Meanwhile, Arizona loves that. Arizona loves a guy that looks like a Duck Dynasty guy.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah, but yeah, have you seen Rhino's hair? He's not doing great in the heat either.
No.
He's going to be just as wet as Cousin It.
He is a wet guy. Yeah, he's very wet all the time.
What if we put both of them in Louisiana for the ultimate wet election?
No. Rhino is practically an alligator.
Rhino's a real MAGA shithead. He's gonna know all of the. He's gonna say they're putting Democrats are inventing hurricanes.
Yeah, no, he would Mayor Kane it. He would do the Glenn Jacobs. Yeah,
but most states, Cousin It wins.
Most states, I'd
more
say
more than half.
More than half, Cousin It wins. But Rhino's making a play in the South in certain red districts. Basically, I think it would come down pretty close nationwide. But I think Cousin It would take it. Sorry, Rhino.
Nationwide, that's real tough.
It's on your side.
Boy, America thought they had hard choices with Trump and Biden. No.
Rhino versus Cousin It. Rhino.
This would be a Trump-Harris squeaker. Yeah.
All right. I want you to imagine now it's the year 2000.
Who does Beyonce endorse? Beyonce Cousin It, right?
Oh yeah,
yeah, Beyonce the usual endorses
cousin, yeah,
it.
Cousin yeah, with okay, the good hair. Yeah.
You're tuned in to Ghost Coast Studios, the world's first and only podcast network, built for creators, activists, and entrepreneurs with something to say. Gripping audio documentaries, conversations that spark change. We're here to bring your ideas to life. Ready for more? Head to ghostcoast.video for shows that matter, tools to help you create, and a community that's totally redefining what a podcast network can be. Ghost Coast Studios, meet your dreams.
Okay, now imagine it's the year 2000.
I'm
right?
there.
The primaries are over. It's the general election.
Oh, no.
And up for president. You have Democrat Ric Flair versus Republican Lurch.
Holy shit. First of all, you're going to have to flip those. In reality.
No, I'm sure about this.
Okay, well, I mean, he's the dirtiest player in the game and in a Democrat.
Specifically because it's the year 2000. In 2016, they'd be running on the opposite
side. Yeah, no, okay, right.
In 2000, we say Al Gore not only couldn't win his home state in the general, he's losing all across the South. You know,
okay, but Rick's taking that because when it comes down to a Democrat or Republican in the Carolinas in that general area of the South, that does not matter because it is horseman country. Oh, woo. Flair.
I think that and honestly, 2000 is one of the last times in American history that kind of guy is gonna really make way. You know, Bill Clinton's president.
Yeah,
and you know,
Ric Flair could have turned the entire South blue.
Lurch is talking about
while saying the N word.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. They couldn't stop him. They kept trying.
Lurch is talking about the deficit, though. he's hammering sensible economic policy every day.
Real slow. Too like real slow and deliberate.
It's that's the thing, is like the regular people can understand Lurch because he talks at a really measured pace.
Yes.
And of course, he would be iconic. His political ads would be, "You rang for the American people."
Oh, God. Yeah, you're not wrong.
Ric Flair during that time period, and Garrick knows this, was doing some of the craziest shit during that time period.
He was on
imagine one. Ric Flair elbow dropping his suit jacket on stage.
And strutting it off, yeah.
Oh, fire me! I'm already... I'm fired! Yeah,
his son is getting in trouble for like pulling a Kennedy, like actually like killing someone in a car wreck, and like he got put away in an asylum at one point around that time. Like they really, yeah, no, I. But all that being said, Democrat Ric Flair, all those things I said, I still think sweeps it.
Al Gore, we would all be ashamed that the sitting vice president couldn't get out of the primary against Ric Flair. But however, you could see it.
I think I'm using Trump as hindsight, though, because like you can't because at the time you might think, well, there's no one with all the credible assault allegations and stuff that Ric Flair has. There's no way that he could win for office. But here we are. So
the media was much more powerful in 2000, to be sure.
Yeah. So that might pull into
maybe the traditional Miri. Maybe the traditional media is like gets in a meeting and they're like, it's got to be Lurch.
Yeah. No. That's what would happen, and he would still win popular vote, electoral. Woo!
Do you think that Lurch would do well on, Face the Nation? I mean, he's going to do a lot better on Sunday shows.
Okay, but like, and here's the thing. God, I feel like I'm on my show where it's like, we have to preface all of this. Fuck Ric Flair in the face. He is a horrible human being. I hate him as a person. It's Ric Flair. So, yeah, imagine Lurch on the Sunday shows, and then the camera slowly pans to the right, and you have a pile of cocaine and a fucking pink feather boa robe with sequins doing his thing. Like, it's Ric Flair. It's Ric Flair.
It would be hard, honestly, to bet against Ric Flair in any popularity contest.
Yeah.
Go on YouTube and just watch Ric Flair for 10 minutes.
But Bobby Heenan would watch YouTube because he was working the fucking working the game. I'm sorry, I had to get that in there. But no, maybe
you're talking about just one of the most charismatic human beings to ever live.
And that's what it comes down to is I believe everything you're saying, Kennedy, about Lurch, but I really it's Flair. Flair would turn the South blue. Like, it's terrifying, but it's true.
But would the Supreme Court be able to still flip the election?
Not after he flip it like a figure four to reverse the pressure. Yes, no, they would try.
I think Lurch does have some strengths. I think Lurch could do fundraising. I think Lurch is good with the media. Lurch is going to bring a lot to the table. Ric Flair is a tough out for anybody.
Yeah.
I'd
say Ric Flair in 2000, it would be Trump's MAGA coming 16 years early. And it would take everyone just as everyone. But like you said, the media would assume it was Lurch. They'd be like, oh no, it's Lurch. It's gotta be Lurch. We're making it Lurch. And they would all assume it.
MSNBC is saying the night before the election, it's Lurch.
It's exactly. And then they wake up. Everyone wakes up in the morning.
Have you guys seen the Jeb
meme? Yeah. Except it's
where
Bobby.
It's all yellow.
Except it's Bobby Heenan. Yeah. Just doing the woo. Yeah. No, everyone. That's exactly it. No, that's all I got to say on that. Like, and I think that's exactly how that would go. And I feel bad for Lurch.
Go Lurch. Wait, no, he.
All right, I got a really tough one. I got a head scratcher.
All right.
Oh no.
I saved this one for last for a reason.
Naturally.
Linda McMahon versus Morticia Adams.
Oh my.
The two most ride or die women in history.
Oh my.
Four.
God.
governor of Connecticut.
Oh my God.
In 2012.
Oh
my God. You're hitting me on the wrestling and the queer at the same time. Fuck. Oh my God.
I will say one thing about this. In 2012, Kentucky had a Democrat as a governor. That's all I'm going to say.
Connecticut.
Oh, God. I was thinking Kentucky.
No, never mind. Connecticut. Oh, okay. Because Linda and Vince want everyone to think that they're from Connecticut, but everyone in Connecticut hates them. This is like on the record. You would think that would put it towards Morticia, but also they own everyone and everything. So, like, Linda
Go ahead.
Oh, well, Linda is the power behind the throne in a lot of ways. Like, Vince is an animal on a leash. Linda very much, like, is a victim of him, but also has got, I mean, she's going to get a cabinet position.
Okay, like, but also,
like she's gotten also, so much money and power. It's insane.
Talking about the power behind the throne in a power couple, you Morticia. Could be describing Morticia Adams.
See, that's why I'm saying it's really hard because it's the same problem. Also, I feel like the people in Connecticut are really going to like that like Victorian Gothic house flair. I feel like the aesthetic is going to sell well.
Morticia Adams gonna run as an independent?
That's the other question.
They're both running as independents.
2012, yes. 2012, Linda would absolutely be running as an independent. Third party.
They're both running as independents. They actually both technically lost their primaries, and there's two other candidates in this race that are running on as Democrat and Republican, but nobody cares about
them. No, it's a runoff between these two.
And it's already been decided that Morticia will caucus with the Democrats and Linda will caucus with the Republicans.
All right, yeah.
Oh, wow. Honestly,
this
is a banger of because
you know, go ahead. You know what I think is a deciding factor in here?
Yes.
Morticia Adams has, and I talk about this all the time when we do these comparisons. I think of who has a work ethic. Because running for an office is like a job. You've got to show up and do stuff, and then you have to travel, and you have to manage stuff.
Oh, yeah, you have to quit your current job.
I feel like Morticia Adams would just crush shit like fundraising.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like Morticia Adams is going to be a disciplined worker and will hit all of the towns and stuff like that.
Linda's a policy wonk.
You know, and with Linda, not only is Linda, a policy person, also, and this is just a fact of Linda McMahon's electoral run, the more you see of Linda, the less you like.
Yeah. The more you look into Linda's past, the more she would not, even in 2012, she would not have survived. What the Republicans
so
do
much
for,
footage.
What Republicans do for like fact checking their picks now, non-existent versus 2012. She don't think she would survive. She's going to be a cabinet member in 2025, but like she's involved in multiple like child sex ring scandals that are coming back because they changed the law. They'd initially gotten away with this shit, but they changed the law so that the statute.
Okay, but Morticia Adams has been videotaped bringing people back from the dead.
But that's all not right. Nearly as bad as Linda. That's not, nearly, not nearly as bad.
But I still think the satanic panic. You got
all right. Okay. You're right.
I want to be clear. Morticia probably wins this, but I just think you have to keep in mind the satanic panic voters are going to be out there with signs screaming, "If you vote for Morticia, America ends."
All the while, the actual person with credible allegations of being involved in child sex trafficking is running on the opposite ticket. Which brings me to my final point on this. It really, statistician Andrew, I'm going to need you on this one. I think it comes down to party lines. I really do think it comes down to the party line. So what did Connecticut look like in 2012?
Connecticut, and I'm just going to guess here that Connecticut's like, +12 or +11 during the
Oh, that's presidential. We're looking at governor.
Edit this later.
What years does Connecticut do its presidential its governor elections?
It could be on and off by 4 or 2 years. Who was the governor in 2012? I guess
2012. They do though. They would have done those on 2010, 2014. So okay. We're light writing on.
All right. So who? 2010. So who was governor in 2010?
So who won that 2010 election?
That would be Dan Malloy defeating Folley. And yada, yada, yada. The Democrat who, less than 1%, about 0.5.
I knew I was picking a battleground for this one.
Yeah.
Less than 1%.
Morticia Adams squeaks it out. Yeah,
I think it's Morticia.
No, well, yeah. At the same time, Richard Blumenthal beat Linda by 12 points.
Yeah.
So I think this is statistical evidence that Linda is behind the curve of the state.
Yeah.
The state, we'll take a Republican, sure, but Jesus, not that one.
Yeah, no, like seriously, she's never won an election. Every office she's held has been given to her.
Yeah, actually, what I'm hearing here is Morticia wins by like 3 points.
Yeah, at least. Morticia wins at least 3 points, I think.
I don't think it's a lot more than that. Reasonable. I think it's still pretty close.
MSNBC
is definitely the night before saying it's Linda.
Yeah. it's a go-to scenario in all of this is them getting it wrong.
I actually think Morticia gets tons of love from MSNBC. She's probably on Rachel Maddow once every 2 weeks.
Oh, God, yes.
Rachel Maddow is probably just hitting on Morticia every other week on her show.
Yeah, but that's the thing is MSNBC, it's like the night before it's a panel and it's seven of them are like Linda and then Maddow and two others are like it's Morticia. You guys are back, you know.
Maddow
it has the best Rachel Maddow loves nothing more than to have smugly been right about something. Mm-hmm. So Rachel Maddow has the best day of her life the next day
wearing like
rough colleague's faces on air,
strangely smoky eyes with like just really leaning into the goth aesthetic for one night just to rub it in. Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Which Adams Family character could end the Civil War fast? Could any of them do it faster than Abraham Lincoln?
Holy shit. I want to say Uncle Fester.
I was thinking Echo Fester.
Uncle Fester in a Mr. Bean like Rube Goldberg of like accidentally burning down Atlanta just like earlier. No offense, Brandon. And like somewhere the general still smiles, you know. But like he just did it by accident. They're like, we give up, and like he didn't even realize there was a war going on.
I'm actually going to go with a character we haven't talked about much today and say that Wednesday Adams could end the Civil War the fastest.
That makes sense, too.
I think that she would just choose the most violent option possible. I think if she was the president at the time of the Civil War, then she would have had them invent the nuclear bomb in the 1800s.
That shot
a
bomb that shot guillotines. Like heads will roll.
I think Wednesday Adams would have just said, like, we don't need the South then. We're just gonna regulate.
Yeah, we're done. That's amazing. No, that you might sway my book. I'm down with that scenario as well.
Especially because I feel like the rest of the Adams family might have moral qualms about some of the decisions, but I feel like Wednesday Adams would just be like, yeah, let's just napalm whole cities.
Reconstruction would have worked out if Wednesday Adams was there.
I feel like they would all have moral qualms. Everyone, the rest of them would have moral qualms. until you explain to Gomez Adams for the first time that's what slavery was and that exists, and then he would be like the most violent of all of them. That's how I mean, but he never realized the concept, and you explain it to him, and he's like, "What's going on?" And he just grabs a rapier.
I still feel like even as the war drags on, though, and Gomez hears the stories of like how real people's lives are being destroyed in the South, he would be like, "Oh, dang, we have to do something about this." Whereas Wednesday, you'd be like, "Hey, Wednesday, there's a report that some Union soldiers like burned down a town and like raped people and stuff." And Wednesday be like, "Great. That's what I told them to do. That's what I told those bitches to do."
Wednesday would immediately John Brown it. Like the moment there was even a whiff of it, it just take care of the fucking problem.
I've got a couple more. We're gonna keep getting a little bit more esoteric here as we move towards the end. But Garrick, this is one for you to take the lead on in particular, but the rest of us can contribute still.
Indeed.
What would Uncle Fester's signature wrestling move be?
Oh, holy hell. Once played a rock show at a bar for Halloween, dressed as Uncle Fester, complete with a light up bulb in my mouth.
Wow.
So I did, small batteries wired through a big coat. that shit was wild. It would have to be something. You know what it would be? So one of my favorite current wrestlers is this Japanese guy, Tomohiro Ishii, Big Tom. And, he does this thing. He's like a pit bull, and he does this thing where he crawls like on his hands and knees and shoots himself forward with a headbutt while you're like on the ground. I feel like Fester has the same general potato shape as Ishii, so that tracks. And he would just call it "light him up," and and I think that would do it.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Thank you very much.
I think that's a perfect answer to the question. My final question for all of us tonight.
Most important election of our life.
Vote.
Most important election of our lives. We're almost done voting. Could Lurch be Abraham Lincoln in a wrestling match?
Ooh.
Two big guys with long arms.
Lurch has got wanted to give the reach to Lurch, but that was a lanky guy. I don't know.
Lincoln's a big, big boy. I don't know.
My understanding is that Lincoln
had Marfan syndrome, you know, that thing that makes your limbs all disproportionate and shit.
Yeah. This is true.
Lincoln had an you guys all know that Abraham Lincoln had an incredible record as a wrestler.
Yeah, like he was a shooter, like he was,
and as a and as an amateur boxer.
I think I'd have to give it to Lincoln.
Go Lincoln!
Lincoln not only reportedly had a 301 record as a wrestler.
Lincoln was fucking motherfucking Goldberg. What the fuck?
Okay. Yeah.
And that's back in the day that this shit wasn't fake all the time.
Yeah. Oh my god.
And not only that, you know, he was hunting vampires.
Yeah, he was so very busy.
He knows about all this supernatural shit.
Don't ask him anything about what he was doing with the Dakota. But yeah. But he was busy. He was definitely busy.
I'm actually gonna give it to Lincoln.
Yeah, we gotta give it to the shooter.
I think he finds a way. He chops that big old tree down. He puts him in an ankle lock or some kind of shit.
Oh yeah,
and he gets the W.
It's definitely a good match, though, right?
Oh, like, absolutely.
End in 5 minutes.
No. I think Lincoln has to pull out. I think because of that reach, Lincoln's got to become a striker. You start seeing him do like the Muay Thai calf kicks to kind of chop him down, like Brandon said. Absolutely. But it's eventually he's gonna get him in a guillotine choke with those big lanky arms like a front guillotine, and he's out. I think that's how that goes.
Do we think that Abraham Lincoln could beat John Cena in Florida?
In wrestling or in politics?
Pick one.
In wrestling, absolutely. Because again, Lincoln was a shooter.
Yeah, I think Abraham Lincoln could. I think Abraham Lincoln could beat a lot of modern wrestlers. Actually,
yeah, but John Cena especially, and I want to see that. I need celebrity death match to come back for that. Yeah.
In an election, I don't know. I think it's feeling like a coin toss. Yeah, it's
feeling like a coin toss. Because people forget Lincoln more racist than they let me remember. So like,
also he's
actually, you know what? That's a good sign for him.
That's what I was going to say.
Actually, a good sign for him in Florida. Yeah. And in terms of wrestling, I think John Cena would let Lincoln win.
Oh, yeah. No, he'd be like, please compromise me to a permanent end.
I think he'd put Lincoln over.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to keep belaboring this in any way, but what do you think Lincoln's MMA record would be like in the modern era? God.
In the modern era, would Lincoln be a hero or a foil?
He'd go after John Jones.
Yeah.
Now that's a whole different podcast. Yeah, it's but a whole I got Lincoln.
Because I gotta be honest, I think Lincoln wrestled in the era again when wrestling was like a real beat 'em up sport still.
No, yeah, right. No, like,
and so I think modern era Lincoln.
Lincoln was born in
1992 or whatever.
He's doing MMA right now, right?
Well, he might have to take a camp. We might need to give him a few months the cutting edge.
No, hold on. I don't think so because hear me out. MMA, mixed martial arts, right? I know more about this than I'd like to admit because these two things are married in a lot of ways for like all the way back since the start of it. But Lincoln was an amazing wrestler, but like you said, he was also an amazing boxer. And the difference is like with UFC, most UFC people, from what I understand, will tell you it doesn't matter how good of a strike you are. If you're against a wrestler and they get their arms around you, it's done. Like, it's done. So like, he has both. So actually, I think Lincoln would be an unstoppable force in UFC. He was a better wrestler, but he knew striking. And that's all.
Yeah, like, he did. People talk about his wrestling career more because that was more formal. But before he got into the wrestling, he did amateur, just like, you know, town boxing for money type of stuff.
Yep. So he
quite a bit. And he had a really good record there too.
That's what I'm saying. So he knows striking. He's been hit in the face. I think that he would be a fucking unstoppable monster. I think the only person stopping him is like Brock Lesnar on all the roids, like peak juice for Lesnar.
I think John Jones would be very motivated to beat
him.
The idea of that would be such a troll that he would be just fully locked in.
No, yeah, I give you that. I'll give you that.
It would be a very close. I don't know. That's maybe too close of a match to call almost.
Yeah, it really is.
It is just wild when you read like stories from Abraham Lincoln's childhood. It's like a good third of them or so are just people being like, and this one time Abraham Lincoln knocked a motherfucker out.
He had like Muhammad Ali reach. Yeah, he had those long arms. But did he dance? Did he do the feet movements is what I need to know.
Well, thank you, everyone, for fulfilling your civic duty once again, participating in the most important election of our lives. Garrick, where do people get tapped into the Monday Night Fake Fights universe?
Oh, well, I'm not a professional. I just play one on TV. So it's really mostly one place. You can find my personal stuff at comfortingmoo.online on Blue Sky. The podcast is at mnffpod.bsky.social. And also, please check out merch store for wrestling-themed shit, various shitposty things, and show merchandises at garricksmid.store. Garrick, like the Star Trek character. I've never had an original thought in my life. But yeah, those are all the places to find us. The show itself, you can find basically anywhere that you get a podcast. I generally keep it up once a week. Also, Patreon, patreon.com/mnffpod. There, I did it. I did all the plugs.
It's a great show with many hot and funny guests, and I'm not just saying that because I'm one of them, but nice. I am saying that because I'm one of them.
Yes.
Wait, I have to get a guest star.
We'll get you on the list. We'll get you on the list. We'll get you on the list.
Anyway, thanks, y'all, and we'll see you next time.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Ghost Coast Studios. Thanks for listening.